The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. At the close of this teaching, please continue listening as we give you important information about Christians for Messiah Ministries. For a more in-depth study of this teaching by Dr. Wins, we encourage you to purchase the book Blessings or Curses for the Next Generation. To order your copy, contact our Christians for Messiah Ministries office. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins. This message is entitled, Blessings or Curses for the Next Generation.
This message is not taught in most churches around the United States of America, but we cannot come into the purposes of God unless we understand what the Bible teaches concerning blessings or curses for the next generation. Now let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, we open our hearts today to receive the wind of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We ask for your power. We ask, Lord, for understanding. We ask for wisdom. We ask, Lord, that you would teach us again from the Word of life, that we might be good soldiers, that we might know how to bless our families, that we might know how to receive your favor on our lives and on this community. We ask now for instruction from heaven. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, would you open them to Deuteronomy chapter 30? We're going to read there the last verse of Deuteronomy 30. Actually, I will start in verse 19. It says, "This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live." Say, "and your children." See, the Lord says, I put before you, he said, let heaven and earth witness this. I put before you today a choice. There's blessings or curses, life or death. And then he says, now choose life. He not only tells you the choice, he tells you which part of the choice to choose. And then he says, choose life so that you and your children can live. I cannot go into all the details to prove to you about the generational flow of blessings that come from ancestors, from parents, down upon their children, or the curses, the negative things that come down from our ancestors upon our lives. But if we understand this power, then we realize that many sicknesses come because of this. Many oppressive problems come because of this generational a problem. And also poverty comes. There is a number of things that will hinder our progress in God, always cause us to be in a place of challenge and difficulty and struggle because of the generational curses that come down. These chapters, starting at chapter 27 of Deuteronomy, all the way to 31, are all about the blessings or the curses that could come upon our lives. And we need to be wise concerning these things. Many people think that the blessings and curses are not applicable today. Those are just things for the Old Testament, but it's really not true. Even today, you see, when you were born, you came out of your mother's womb carrying a suitcase. You were naked, but you had a suitcase. And there wasn't just DNA in the suitcase. There was the spiritual heritage, the spiritual genes that have come from your forefathers that came into your life. And when you came into this world, you came with baggage. And when you came to the cross of Jesus Christ, everything had the opportunity for change. But the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you to both will and do of his good pleasure. So you have to work out your salvation by the grace of God. I'm not talking about whether or not you get to heaven. How much of a Christian do you need to be a Christian? How much of a Christian do you need to be to get to heaven? You just have to cross the line from not being a Christian to being a Christian, and you're in. You can still be a messed up Christian. You can be a lousy Christian. You can be a carnal Christian. But if you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and said, "Oh, Father, help me." He says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And heaven is a real big place. But you can still go through life really messed up. And all you need to do is just look around at your Christian friends. And you know what I'm telling you is true. That's why we have all these teachings and all these small groups and why we meet together to encourage one another. Because in this life, there's all kinds of struggles and difficulties that we have to face. Now, this book that I showed you has three parts to it. One is about the blessings of God. The second part is about curses. And the third part is how to minister effectively to people who have difficult problems. I want to spend most of my time this morning talking to you about blessings. And I want to tell you, to start off with, that there are three different ways that blessings come into your life. They come into your life because of the righteous actions of rulers in the land that you live. If President Obama will function according to the righteous standards of the Bible, God will bless America. And you'll receive blessings, and your children will receive some blessings. Doesn't mean you won't have problems, but there is a type of blessings that will come because of righteous rulers. The second way that blessings will come to you is by righteous parents and grandparents. If there are grandparents or parents who are righteous and they walk with God, then you will be blessed. You know, I can't help being blessed. When I look at my lineage and I see on both sides of my grandparents were missionaries. My father was born in China. My mother was born in Israel. And both of them had parents who were godly servants of the Lord. Then my dad became a preacher of the gospel from when he was a teenager. And then he has six sons, and five of them are preachers of the gospel. It's like there is a funnel of God's blessing and anointing that has come down upon my life because of the ancestors who have gone before. With all of their mistakes, they brought blessings to me. So there's blessings that come from the rulers that are righteous, and blessings that come from our fathers, mothers, and grandparents who are righteous. There's also blessings that come because of your own actions. If you will live in a certain way that will serve the Lord, and I'm going to go through some of these ways, then the blessings of God will come to you no matter what the obstacles or problems. If you will learn to say, "Lord, I am not just going to survive, I'm going to be an activist. I am going to serve the Lord and walk in the ways of the Lord and find out those things that bring blessings on my life so that I can come into God's favor," then that's the third way that blessings will come to you. And that's the best way to have blessings come to your children. Get blessings. See, I got so many blessings going off inside of me. I mentioned to you many times that in my dreams, I see people. Actually, Matt and Darlene were in my dreams this week, and I didn't know anything about this accident. But last night, they were in my dream. And I am now finding, before I wake up, I'm starting to pray for them. And I wake up, and I've already been praying in my sleep for the people who are in my dreams. Because I made a deal with God, "Lord, if anybody's in my dream, I will pray for them." And I wake up, and I start praying. Well, now I'm praying while I'm still asleep. And I realize that there's a blessing of God that is going on inside of me that's way bigger than what I can do. I'm just saying, "Lord, I want to stay on this path. I want these blessings in my life. I want these blessings on my children. I want these blessings on my grandchildren. And I will not be denied. Now, what do I have to do?" And that's the message I'm preaching to you today by the grace of God. Now, there are three basic biblical blessings. when we look at the life of King David, we discover what the three main blessings are that are mentioned in the Bible. Even though David had enormous failures, and if you just stop for a minute to think of King David's life, he was an adulterer and a murderer, and he made lots and lots of mistakes for which he got judged in this life. But then he repented, and he turned things around, and even with his failures, God blessed him abundantly. So we read in 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 26, David, son of Jesse, was king over all Israel. He ruled over Israel 40 years, 7 in Hebron, and 33 in Jerusalem. He died at a good old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. There are three main blessings mentioned throughout the scriptures. One is long life, one is wealth, and one is honor. Poverty is a curse. Premature death is a curse. And a disgrace and shame is a curse. Blessings. And to have these three things in your life is rare. But if you press into God, God has promised me these three things. At different points of my life, he's got me out of bed. He does this regularly at 3 a.m. and he starts to speak to me. And before long, I'm weeping. And then the Lord on one occasion specifically said to me, Peter, I promise you that you will have long life, wealth, and honor. And it's all about the glory of the Lord. It's not for self-aggrandizement or for just, you know, to live nicely. It is for the purposes of the kingdom of God and for the generations to be blessed. So those are the three main biblical blessings. But there are many other blessings that are mentioned in the Bible. And they really all come under these three main blessings. Let me just list them for you. There is health. You can kind of check off how many of these things you have in your life. There is health, wealth, peace, productivity, children, descendants, a good name, a godly spouse, lands, mercy flowing in your life, the favor of God on your life, miracles, salvation, the light of God shining upon you, understanding, leadership abilities, supernatural protection, eternal inheritance, supernatural anointing, gifts of the Holy Spirit, the ownership of the earth, fertility, comfort, strength, fame, glory, righteousness, answers to prayer, patience, joy, angelic visitations, the presence of the Lord, abundant life, godly fellowship, maturity, unity, and freedom. Those are a few of the blessings that come to the people of God who meet the criteria that the Lord says to us in the scriptures we need to do to get these blessings. All of these things are listed and talked about in depth in that book. So forgive me for racing through it, but if we don't race, we'll not get to the finish line. We won't be able to land the plane. So here we go. I want to give you 8 things that you can do to bring the blessings of God onto your life. This is some of the most important things you will ever learn. Some of them seem simple, but and you're already doing them. And that's why you're already blessed. See, everybody here has this water table in your life of blessings. And some people's water table is down around the knees. They have blessings that they can wade in. Other people, the water table is up around the neck. And they can, they're pretty full of many blessings. Then there's people who have so many blessings they can't touch the bottom. They're just out there swimming in the blessings, and the blessings are overtaking them. I recognize that if I just stay on track with God, I am in an undefeatable movement of blessings. I'm caught up in the river of God's anointing and blessings for me and my family. And so it should be for you. So here are eight things that you can do to find blessings on your life. One, and there's scriptures and explanations for each of these things in that book, but I can't give them to you now. But blessings come to those who fear the Lord and obey Him. That's the first thing the Bible says. If you will fear the Lord and if you will obey Him, then all of these blessings will come to you. It sounds very simple, but every day of your life, you don't say, well, what am I going to do today? You say, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Do you understand the difference? You're not just saying, well, I think I'm going to go and make this happen today. No, you say, Lord, how can I walk with you today? What are the things you want me to do today? If that is your life, it's the beginning of blessings. The second thing you can do to be blessed is to shun evil. That's the first psalm says, don't walk, sit, or stand in the place of the scornful, the critical, or in the way of sinners. It says, don't participate in those things. You cannot afford to just embrace evil things, to make excuses for evil activity. The Bible says, shun evil, and God's blessings will come upon you. And this is a very important thing for all of us to learn. You know, just 2 days ago, a lady on the other side of the country phoned me up because they needed some advice for their family. And she wanted some prayer as well. But then she says, oh, by the way, when you were here preaching just less than 2 months ago, she said, you mentioned that you would pay your teenage children to read this book. She said, well, my 16-year-old son asked for new wheels for his pickup truck. So I said, we will help you. We'll pay for half of them. He's got a job, but we'll pay for half of them if you will read Dr. Wins's book, Blessings or Curses for the Next Generation. And so she gave him a copy. He said, great deal. And she thought, he's going to read one or two chapters, and that's going to be it. He's going to be put it down and say, Mom, forget it. I can't read that book. He read the whole book in 2 days. Came back to her and answered all of her questions because both her and her husband have read the book. And then she says, the whole community of the young people are now talking about it. And my oldest son's girlfriend, who is not part of this church, she has come and said, I heard about this book. I think I need to read it. How can I get a copy of it? So I encourage you to pay your teenagers to read it. If they get the understanding of the family generation blessing or the family generation curse, and the fact that when they're 16 years of age, what they do will affect their grandchildren, they will start to live more consequentially. This is vital. If I had written this book and my children were still teenagers, they would all be reading it. Well, they're reading it because they want to now. They've already read it because they're adults and they know. But here's the third thing. Blessings come to those who endure hardship for righteousness' sake. You remember what Jesus said? Blessed are you when all men revile you and persecute you for my name's sake and for the gospel's. Great is your reward. The Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5 are all about this, but not just that place in Scripture. The next thing, the fourth area that you can bring blessings into your life is to give generously to the poor. Because the Bible says that whoever gives to the poor lends to God. In other words, you give something to the poor, and the Lord says, I see that you've given something to that poor person. I will pay you back for what you gave to them. And God will pay you back with great increase. Your investment will be returned to you. He says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So that's what happens if you give to the poor, widows, orphans, and the poor. And then the fifth way to find blessings in your life is to liberate the oppressed. The Bible teaches us that you will be in Isaiah 58, that if you will help those who are in need, he says, this is the fast that I have called you to help those who are oppressed and to deliver those who are under bondage and under tyranny. When the United States of America goes to another nation because the poor and afflicted people in that nation are crying out and saying, will somebody come and help us? I want you to know it's a godly thing if that happens under those circumstances, for those reasons. It is a godly thing for a nation to go and help remove tyranny from another nation and set oppressed people free. And God will bless a nation that does that. Be thankful for the military might of the United States of America and for many godly people here in leadership. And whatever you can do to relieve oppression off of people. When I come into a church and I see people demonized and people under oppression, people under so much darkness, I have a little smile inside my stomach, inside me, because I say, oh boy, we're going to do some work today. We're going to set some captives free. We're going to see things change. And every time I step into a church, we're going to Bulgaria in the month of April, and we'll be there for 2.5 weeks. And every night, and we will minister to people, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. We are lay our hands on with the help of interpreters. We'll break generational curses off of gypsies and people who will be involved in ages of witchcraft. Lives will be changed. Miracles will happen. And every time I do that, I feel the anointing and the glory of God come on my life. The next thing you can do to bring blessings on your life is to preach the gospel. The scripture even says that there's a soul winner's crown that will be given in heaven for those who bring people to righteousness. When you preach the gospel and spread the good news, and you do it as led by the Holy Spirit, God will bless you. He said it like this to his disciples. No man has left houses and money and lands and friends for my sake and for the gospel's, but has not in this life received 100-fold and in the life to come eternal life. He just gives blessings. And then the seventh way to receive blessings on your life is to support and encourage those who are in the ministry on the front lines. You might not be able to go, but you can pray for, financially support, and encourage those who do. And this is seen many places in the scripture. I love the fact that Jesus had a whole band of women who traveled with him and his disciples. And it says that they were the ones who had money. I think it's still like that in some families today. And one stands out to me. There was Susanna and Joanna and Magdalene. And Joanna was the wife of Cusa, who was the head of King Herod's household. He was second in command to King Herod concerning all the affairs of a wicked King Herod's household. But his wife was sneaking off to be a disciple. And she took money that no doubt came from Herod to support the ministry of the Lord. I like it. But then you find the women in the Old Testament were equally valiant. For when Elijah and Elisha moved throughout the countryside, there were women. One was a widow, but one was married. Both of them were poor and in great need, but they gave unto the prophets. One provided a place of lodging and gave sustenance and food. One of them gave their last meal. They were in a time of famine. They had nothing. But this lady, who was a widow and had a son, she says, we're just going to eat this last meal and die. And Elisha said, well, why don't you let me share it with you? And they didn't say, no, what are you, crazy? Didn't you hear me? This is our last meal. She says, yes. And then she brought all those vessels and filled them with oil. And it says that for all of the days of difficulty and famine. Her cruse of oil never failed, and her bag of flour never emptied. The blessing of the Lord comes to those who serve the ministers of the gospel. And lastly, the way to get blessings in your life is to come. Blessings come. Now, this seems a little strange, but it's in the book of Proverbs. Blessings come to those people who work hard. Consider the ant. He's just a little tiny guy, but he works real hard. And he stores up food for the winter. And the book of Proverbs is loaded. It talks about having a good, fair balance, having integrity in business. If you're a business, all of you have business in some part or another of your life, whether you work for somebody, even your business with the government of the United States, with your income tax, whatever you do, if you have a business, in all of those things, have integrity and work hard and don't cut corners and cheat people. And if you do, curses come on you. But if you will walk with integrity, God says he will bless those who work hard and have integrity in their business. So those are eight different things. I'm not going to review them because I have so much to share with you. Now, what about blessing your children? If you do all of these things, these blessings will come onto your life. I want to give you seven practical ways now to bless your children. If you become blessed because you do these eight things, according to the scriptures, then you've got something powerful to give to your children. Here's the first thing. To bless your children, speak good words of encouragement and approbation over them. Most parents love their children, but not all parents tell their children. And they don't tell their children enough. It's not good enough for you to go to work and put the food on the table. A child needs to say, I love you. You know, little Ethan is just 2 years old. And grandparents and parents are always with him. And we're always saying, I love you. You know what he says? I love you too. That's what he says. And he's got to be told that. I remember a time with one of our children who was suffering from rejection. He actually received some deliverance from rejection. But before that happened, he was just as favored as any of the other children. But when he got to a certain age at the beginning of adolescence, he just kind of fell apart. And he was corrected about something. And it was like he had a nervous breakdown on the moment. And I said, what's the matter? He said, you don't love me. And you just do everything for all of the other children. And you never give anything to me. And it was totally untrue. And all of the other children would attest to it. However, I said, son, come on, let's spend the day together. Come on, let's get in the car. And the first thing we did was to go to Dairy Queen and get an ice cream to kind of calm, you know, his shakes. And then we just went and walked together, and we talked together. And throughout the day, I talked to him and said, son, we love you. If nobody else was in the whole world, we would love you. And we would lay down our lives for you. You mean the world to us. By the end of the day, he was changed. I spent the day with this one message. Son, we love you. And I answered every question he had. And I reminded him of all the things that the devil had let him forget. And then I told him about his future. And how we stand with him and protect him. And how we love him to pieces. And he's really well. He's doing well now. He's got two children of his own. He's a minister of the gospel. And he's an extremely confident individual and doesn't have any problems with rejection. But that's the first thing you can do for your children. The second thing is to provide goods and services and financial resources to them. See to it that they get their needs met. And if you will be frugal, if you will be thrifty, and you will use the money wisely, you can, especially in America, provide for your children. You might not be able to bring them the latest high-tech stuff, but you can give them a wonderful existence with lots of provisions. The third thing you can do is help open the right doors for them, for their education, for social opportunities. You get them involved in sports so that they have some physical growth, and you get them involved in learning an instrument or taking special courses. You invest your time and in your children and bless them in that way. The fourth thing is to lay your hands on your children and speak faith-filled blessings over them. Put your hands on your children and say, I bless you. Actually speak it. I still do it with my own children. As I do it as we're moving. This is the Hebrew way. You don't stop the program and say, we're going to have a special blessing meeting, because it gets all freaky then. You just do it on the way, you know. You put your arm around you and say, I bless you in the name of the Lord. Just while they're standing in the doorway. And you say, and when they visit, if they're grown up, you pray and send them on their way and bless them in the name of the Lord. And when you're sitting at the table and you're having a meal today, you bless the food and you bless your children. And you speak blessings over them. You bless, you see, you are a channel, parents and grandparents, for your descendants. Don't think just because you think it will happen. And don't think whatever will be. It's up to you what will be. So lay your hands on your children and say, I bless you. And when they are in rebellion, do it double amount. Don't draw back from them. Say, I don't agree with what you're doing, but I bless you in the name of the Lord. I speak the goodness and the blessings of God into your life. And that is powerful, my son. And I love you. And do that. I've done it lots and lots and lots of times. All right. Then the fifth thing, the way to bless your children, is to be a godly example for them. If you do all of the examples and the activities I talked about to you earlier, then you will be able to be a good example for them to follow in. Even when one of our sons was in a rebellious season in his life and he was just going off the deep end, I would take him out for breakfast and I would say to him, son, have I been a bad father to you? And he'd say to me, Dad, you have been the best father to me in the whole world, but I just have to find my own way. Well, I'm saying, well, hurry up, son, because we love you and we don't want you to make wrong choices. He said, I have to live my life, Dad. And in time, he came around and has now become a powerful man of God. But our example, and then when he came back to the Lord, he said, Dad, you know, even when I was out there in the world and I was rebellious, all my friends knew that God was their only hope. He said, I could be in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing, but I was still telling my buddies that, you know, you guys really need the Lord. And you don't see those things but if you've been a good influence and you've been one who imparts the blessings of the Lord, it is in them. And if you just love them, love them, love them, encourage them and bless them, it'll shine through. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of other things here. You bless them by providing a stable home, a spiritual home. There should be prayer going on in your home every day, but not religious, dutiful stuff. I'm talking about, come on, let's just pray. I'm talking about making it light, but calling upon the Holy Spirit. Doing it in a way at the meals and you know, when certain things happen. Birthday parties, you pray over your children, all of those times. Let your home be a spiritual home and a stable home, a healthy environment for your children to grow up in. Do not bring the abomination into your home, lest you become like it, the Bible says. So what you bring in on your television, with your movies, with magazines, and the kind of conversations you have in your home will affect your children. And lastly, You can bless your children by clearing away all the junk in your life, such as generational curses and other things that have got in the way. Get your life right, and that will be the greatest blessings you will ever give to your children. I'm going to just skip a lot of pages here and bring you to say a few things to you about curses, and then we're going to close this part of our meeting and have some time of prayer and worship. When you pray and the blessings of God are on your life, angels will be all around you all the time. When you walk in sin or generational curses come down upon you, demons have an opportunity to come and bring trouble. So the question is, what are we inviting into our homes? Angels or demonic spirits? And if there are darknesses in our homes, we need to see that they get broken off and get removed. Jesus knew all about curses. He even cursed a tree. He cursed Jerusalem. He cursed Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida. He told them that if the people of Sodom and Gomorrah had seen miracles like they had seen, they would have repented a long time ago. And then he spoke curses over them. Paul did as well. He cursed a man and he went blind. Peter cursed somebody and they fell dead. Jesus said, when people hurt you, don't curse them, bless them. The Bible talks about curses right to the very last page where it says, in eternity, and all curses will be removed. But Jesus became a curse for you on the cross that you might receive the blessings that were promised to Abraham. Now, what are the signs of a curse? One, poverty. Two, divorces. I'm not talking about just a rough time because of the economy or because one person in the family got divorced. But if there is a trend where everybody in the family is getting divorced, and no matter what you do, you're still living in poverty, there's enough jobs, enough money coming in, but you're still in poverty, and this is being a trait generationally, it's a curse. So think of what I'm saying to you as a historical pattern and not just a one-off thing. Okay, the third thing is debilitating and lethal genetic diseases, such as cancers. And then there's perverted sexual strongholds. Homosexuality is a curse. People say, well, I was born that way. Of course you were born that way. It's a generational curse, and it needs to be broken. There are three ways that homosexuality will come into a person's life. One is because of generational curses, and they're born that way, and it needs to be broken off them. Two is when they are abused by a gay person in their childhood. And three, if because of curiosity and experimentation, they get involved in under their own free will during their teen years or some other time. Those three things will bring demons of homosexuality and a curse. Strong sexual strongholds are curses. And of course, adultery, promiscuity, all kinds of things come under that list. Infertility is one. And all kinds of reproductive problems. And then accident prone. Matt Woodhouse is not accident prone. He just had this one accident. And I'm sure it wasn't a curse, but no doubt an attack of the enemy. But if a person is having accidents of all kinds continuously, it's probably the signs of a curse. Then mental illness that are repeated in the family. The eighth thing are demonic, haunting spirits or traumas that continue to come into a home. There's curses on that family. And many Christians don't want to talk about this, but they have all kinds of demonic traumas happening in their homes. The ninth thing is family members are constantly living in fear anxiety and worry. I mean, it's to the place where that's what they live in. It's a curse upon that family. It's not the blessings of the Lord. All right, the 10th thing is premature and untimely deaths in a family. When people are young and they die and then somebody else dies and there's all these kind of things. If you think of the Kennedy family, there are so many premature deaths. God loves people, but sometimes because of ancestor sins, there are curses that come upon families. And premature deaths is one of those. I'm going to give you two more. The history in a family of addictive behavior, such as alcoholism, drugs, sexual perversions, gambling, eating, spending. Like the bumper sticker that says, I was born to shop. Real big deception there. Stealing, lying, fighting, other addictions are signs of a curse if it's a pattern in a family. And lastly, alienation and separation from people. At your job, with your family, with your friends, with your church. There are so many people because of rejection and all kinds of problems, they have these things going on inside of them. Now, I'm going to close the message with this. Curses come because of witchcraft. I'll give you 12 things. Because of rebellion towards parents. Because of corrupt business. Because people abuse the handicapped. Because we withhold justice from immigrants, the alien who is in the land. Because we abuse orphans and widows. Because of sexual perversions. Because of murder. Even abortions. Because of a paid assassin who is not working for righteous purposes, such as if they're doing it for the government to take out an evil man and it's part of a war strategy, that's not what I'm talking about. But if you work for the mafia and you're a hired hitman, your whole family will be cursed. I guarantee it. Antisemitism, the hatred or persecution of Jewish people, brings a curse to it. If you divide their land or scatter their people, curses will come upon you. And lastly, for not paying your tithes. It's in the same category with all the others. These are found all throughout the scriptures, and you can find those verses in that book. Blessings or curses for the next generation. Now, I didn't want to spend a lot of time talking about the curses. And I spent most of that time talking about how you can be blessed and how your children can be blessed. Remember what the verse that we started with today? Behold, let heaven and earth bear witness that I put before you this day blessings or curses, life or death. Now choose life so that you and your children can live. Some of you have a lot of baggage. You have heavy baggage. Jesus is the baggage breaker. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has called me to preach. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Do you know what the good news to the poor is all about? It's all about what I've been preaching to you today. It's all about changing the curses life to the blessing life. That's the good news. It's not that it's going to be a sunny day this weekend. With no rain. That's not the good news he's bringing you. He's bringing you good news that will change your life and your children and your grandchildren, the essence of the things that count and are important so that you can fulfill your destiny and the call of God on your life. He says he's anointed to preach good news, to open the prison doors, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to remove the oppression and to proclaim the year of God's favor. That's the ministry description that Jesus has of himself, and it's our ministry description. Now, we're going to pray for you right now, and we're going to pray for your families. That's where it all begins. It's not a one-time event to get everything fixed in your life, but you start to understand these things, and you start to move in them, and you take one step at a time into the blessings of the Lord. Don't be discouraged because of the mountain of problems you have. Say, it's going to change in my life and in my family. We're going to have the goodness and the blessings of the Lord in our home. And God will be with you because this is his assignment and his agenda. Would you stand to your feet? Let's pray together. Would you repeat a prayer of dedication and commitment unto the Lord? Say this prayer. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you that on the cross, Jesus paid for all my sin and all took care of all my problems. Today, I move further into the blessings and the goodness of God for my life and for my children. I ask you to continue to teach me and specifically show me the areas of my life and my family's that needs adjustment. I give my whole life to you. And I welcome the work of the Holy Spirit. I ask for the blessings of God to come. I take that which was given to me at the cross. I renounce wickedness and curses. And I receive the blessings of the Lord in my life and upon my children and grandchildren to come. Let the blessings of the Lord come upon my life and upon my family. I receive it in Jesus' name. Now I bless my children, if you have them. I bless my marriage partner, if you have one. I speak the power of the Lord on them and the release of God's goodness, protection, and abundant blessings. I speak it in Jesus' name. I give you praise now and receive all of these things in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
If after hearing this message, you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net. That's WYNSUSA@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwins.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.